It's Monday, the 29th of April. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and I'm covered in party streamers. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, a modern newspaper review, where every day we encourage the UK press to be our simple sword of truth and trusty shield of British fair play. But you know what? Somehow it never works. And today is our 200th episode. Woohoo! Who can believe we've reached our double century when we don't look a day over 199? Oh, no, sorry, we do look exactly like one day more than 199.
It's 3 days, actually.
One day more of the show. We don't count. We don't count the weekends. Anyway, happy birthday to us, and thank you to all our lovely listeners. Whether you've been with us from the start or just popped us on today because you tried the newsagents but there weren't any jokes, you're welcome. Remember, if you like what we do, then why not send a message to three of your friends with a link to papercutshow.co.uk and tell them why you like us. Get them excited about Daniel Fox's new and exclusive guide to cunt reliving. It's coming up today. Let's see if they subscribe. Now, here are the top stories for today's show. Tough enough, Rishi Sunak's playing the hard man. Are we convinced? Horsey types. Posh woman writes a bonkbuster about the Cotswolds and we're thrilled. And how to get fit and sexy without actually doing anything at all. The papers have it sorted. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where we've used up all the helium on actual balloons. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is author of A History of the World in 47 Borders and Man in a Party Hat is John Ellich. Hi, John.
Hello. I'm actually a bit insecure about party hats because I can't wear them.
Because of your hair?
They always break on my hair.
Mm. Yeah, because your hair is your crowning glory.
I have a freakishly big head as well, so every Christmas.
And also with us is host of excellent podcast Welcome to Hell and Man with a Vol-au-Vent. It's Daniel Fox. Hi, Daniel.
Hello. Happy 200th birthday.
Thank you. So what have we got on the front page today? John, what have you got?
Oh, it's a fucking magnificent selection over in the broadsheet. It's just it's wall-to-wall joy, really. The Eye has Sunak to resist early election as Tory rebels on manoeuvres.
On manoeuvres.
A headline that could have been written any day in the last year and a half. The Guardian, this one's really bleak. We're going to come back to it. Home Office to detain UK asylum seekers in shock Rwanda move. The Daily Telegraph, UK attacks EU double standards on migrants.
Yeah, great. We'll maybe talk about that too.
Next to a lovely picture of Nicole Kidman in a gold dress.
Yeah, that's nice.
And my personal favourite, the one that when we were prepping the show made me swear, depressed and anxious face losing their benefit.
It's just unbelievable, isn't
it? You know what my favourite thing there is? Benefit, single.
Just but one benefit.
One benefit.
One benefit.
They've been reduced to one benefit and now they're going to lose it because they're too anxious.
And too depressed. Okay, Daniel, what do you have? You have the Jolly Fun Papers.
I do have that. What I particularly love about those papers is all of the things about asylum seekers and all of the horrible stuff is accompanied by the Nicole Kidman photo as if she's the one that's done it. She's rounding everybody up with her long, long hands. Okay, on the Daily Mail, tens of thousands exploiting hidden asylum loophole. Fun. Time's up, Mr. Sunak from the Daily Mirror. PM dodges question five times as pressure grows to name day. Hmm? Oh, pressure grows to name the day.
Sounds like he's going to get married.
Yeah. Or name day, very Game of Thrones. The Sun is going for Linda reveals last call from tragic George, I love you, Mum, about the Gogglebox, George Gilvey's passing, which is very sad. And the Daily Star is going with Oompa Oompa take off jumpers. Britain is set for a bank holiday heatwave thanks to a 300-mile plume coming via Berlin.
Can you talk us through the picture as well?
Yes, I'll talk you through the picture. The picture is a very large photo of a... Would we call that a Jack Russell?
Definitely. I think it's a Jack Russell.
It's Jack Russell in some big sunglasses. Mm. Next to him is a man in lederhosen with... I think a brown Labrador.
How big is the dog next to the man?
It is a giant dachshund, which is... and they are
I've
all,
had that nightmare.
Yes, and they're all on the back of a sun lounger.
It's lovely, isn't
it? Oompa, take off, jumper.
It's the lederhosen that's confusing me. Okay. So look, I felt there is a story that we should have a quick look at that's on the front page of The Guardian, which is about Thames water, right,
love
John?
Love those guys.
Oh, yeah. Love those guys. Okay, there are fears that it's going to collapse, financially collapse, rather than just deposit poo everywhere. What does that mean?
So for a couple of weeks now, The Guardian has been reporting on the exciting sounding Project Timber, which is the secret plan to nationalise Thames Water in an emergency, which would see some lenders lose up to 40% of their money, poor dears. But now the pressure is on. Senior Whitehall officials are concerned that if it does collapse, it is running out of money. If Thames Water collapses, it could trigger a rise in government borrowing costs, quote, not seen since the chaos of the Liz Truss mini budget.
Wow.
Such as their concern about the impact on wider borrowing costs for the UK, that they believe Thames should be renationalised before the general election, which would be kind of hilarious if this government's last act is a sort of forced nationalisation, like, you know, undoing the legacy of Margaret Thatcher and crying and then going to the polls.
So, yeah, it's kind of mad. And we've got one more bit of breaking news, which is about Humza Yousaf, right?
Yes. He is, even as we record, this I'm quoting from the script here. He is driving from Dundee to Edinburgh to quit as Scotland's first minister. I don't know where you go, because, like, you know, to resign as prime minister, you have to go see the king, right? Mm. What does the first minister do? Does he just have to, like, stand on the Royal Mile and announce it like he's trying to get people to go see his fringe show?
He has to whisper it to the cat, Larry. Just to whisper it in his ear, and then it's official.
But this is happening as we speak, so I'm sure it will be covered in more detail in tomorrow's show.
Okay.
Does what's going on in the American election scare and bemuse you in equal measure?
Want to know what Biden and Trump are up to without tearing your hair out?
Then you need to listen to American Friction, the brand new podcast about the countdown to the big vote in November from the makers of Oh God, What Now?, The Bunker and Paper Cuts.
Every Friday, we'll speak to leading experts and blockbuster commentators from the United States to explain the latest news and the big issues behind the vote.
That's American Friction with me, Jacob Jarvis.
Me, Chris Jones.
And me, Nikki McCann Ramirez.
Out every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, there are various stories on the front pages today that lead us to wonder, is Rishi Sunak having a good week or a bad one? Because you could imagine that he's feeling quite full of himself because he got his Rwanda bill through Parliament last week. And this has apparently led him to make other exciting plans, hasn't it, John?
Well, I mean, that very much depends on one's definition of the word exciting.
Mm.
So that Guardian splash we already quoted, the Home Office is about to launch a major operation to basically arrest asylum seekers for being asylum seekers across the UK. It's going to do this without any warning. They're going to show up at, like, routine meetings with, you know, immigration officers or other appointments, and the Home Office is going to have people there and it's going to say, you're coming with us, mate. They're going to be moved to detention centres where they're going to be held for something like 10 to 12 weeks until the flights are ready to take off, and then they will be deported to Rwanda. The reason this is all happening now is transparently because in 3 days' time there are a bunch of local elections, and Rishi Sunak has got it into his head that this is going to improve the party's chances. So this genuinely horrifying story that is, like, the imagery is not unfash, is it? Like,
no, it's just terrible. Like,
rounding people up.
Yeah, I mean,
officers
please.
Of the state rounding people up, locking them up. Okay, they're just sticking them on a plane, but still, I'm not very proud of this fucking country right now.
No, it's really I was actually genuinely shocked about when I read this story. It's really, really terrible. So the idea is that if they do their rounding up now, this will make us all vote Tory in the local elections, which seems completely bananas.
I mean, I don't think you and I are the targets.
No, perhaps not. But obviously, if that happens, it will cause kind of huge legal battles. But also, they think it might cause clashes with police.
Yeah, this has happened a couple of times in Scotland. On two occasions, there have been attempted deportations in Glasgow and Edinburgh, and the locals have just, like, turned up en masse and not let the police take people away.
Mm.
There were very inspiring videos coming out of Glasgow a couple of years ago, and just hundreds of people surrounding immigration vehicles to make sure that asylum seekers couldn't be taken away, and going, like, these guys are part of our community, piss off, basically. It would be nice to think that something like that could happen elsewhere. But we
shall
see.
But it depends how surprising it is as well. If you're just picking somebody up, then yes. If there's no warning, that sounds very... Yeah. Anyway, so that's Rishi being a big guy. Probably thinks this is a brilliant move, right?
And how much do you think they had to pay to get Nicole to be the one to go in and...
I know, in a gold frock.
Well, it's all about the photo, isn't it?
Yeah. The door bursts open and there she is to whisk you off to Rwanda. It's just awful.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and she does cost a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so look, Rishi is being... This is him trying to be tough, it seems. Mm. He thinks it's a great move. But aside from this, there is another... We could almost call it traditional problem that he is facing, isn't it? And it's from the usual suspects.
So the Telegraph, a newspaper where I am informed that nobody on their politics desk knows a single person in Labour, and they're starting to realise this might be a bad thing.
Wow.
they have a report from two unnamed Tory MPs described as right-wing, demanding that Sunak promote other right-wingers to an election war cabinet.
War cabinet.
Names being floated include Priti Patel.
Oh my God.
Robert Jemrick and Jacob Rees-Mogg. How bad do things have to get?
Wow.
That you're like, this is... we need help. Send for Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Wow, that is mad, isn't it? You can imagine him in a cape.
The level of delusion to think that this is the thing that's going to dig them out of their hole. Because they do have... So the local elections, there's a lot of expectation management going on, but it's probably going to be bad for the Tories. There's talk of them losing up to 500 councillors. And Sunak had a lot of fun on the broadcast round this weekend. Mm-hmm. There was a brilliant interview with Trevor Phillips on, I think, Sky, where Sunak was visibly annoyed that people kept asking him about politics. Like, he literally complained, why is everyone obsessed with politics? And it's like, because you're the fucking Prime Minister!
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And like, Trevor, like, the quote written down, it sounds like Phillips is begging him. He says, like, I just need to know when to book my holidays. Is July... is there going to be an election in July? And Sunak replied, actually, Trevor, it's more important than your holiday or anyone's holiday. I have a job to do, which is delivering for the country.
And that's certainly what he's doing.
And that's where he's talking about getting Jacob Rees-Mogg back.
Hello, I'm Dorian Linsky.
And I'm Ian Dunn.
We are the hosts of Origin Story, the podcast that unpacks the history behind the ideas, the people and the events that shape political discourse today.
And we are back for season 5.
We're kicking off with a two-parter on George Orwell, the man, the work, the ideas. We follow him from Burma to Spain, through Second World War London, to the writing of his masterpieces Animal Farm in 1984, and how their legacy is used and misused today.
That's Origin Story Season 5, coming now from anywhere you get your podcasts.
Now, in the Sunday Times yesterday, there was a delightful piece about hard-working posh gal Plum Sykes, who's moved to the Cotswolds to get close to horses and even closer to a load of posh female friends so that she can write a bunkbuster about them. Daniel, you've read this piece. It is for you.
I just can't imagine anything more joyful to read. It is just a long piece about Plum Sykes basically advertising her new book, Wives Like Us, which is a juicy page turner. Mm. They've titled it Plum Sykes, The Cotswolds is a Satire Waiting to Happen. You've done it, Plum. Like, sounds like you've just satired it. It just sounds delicious. It's basically Desperate Housewives set in...
Horseyland.
Like, yeah, Horseyland. There's a lot of people as she goes through where she's like referencing friends who live in the Cotswolds, and they all have like 9 surnames, and all of their jobs are like... Samantha Barton Smythe, an equestrian. Not a job, right? No one's paying you to do that. You're not... it's not your job.
That is the real life equivalent of my job is beach.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. My job is horse. It's just so good. The writer at one point, very early on, and I will defend Plum here, talks about how a lot of these characters are... they all seem overly fond of tablescaping, which I do think is sort of...
Do you think, like, that's mean?
Well, I don't think that's possible.
There is no limit to your,
no limit
your
to
tablescaping
how,
fondness.
How much one can be fond of tables. It was a ridiculous thing to say.
Sorry, what's tablescaping?
Oh, my God. The design of a table. The layout.
The layout.
Yeah, the mise-en-scene of the... Yeah. Basically putting some flowers and bits and bobs on your table to make it look nice for dinner. It is a book about 4 very... bougie women who live in, like, the Cotswolds,
yeah.
Written by Plum Sykes, who lives in a Victorian farmhouse near Stroud in Gloucestershire. The cast includes Tata Hawkins. Love that. A footballer's wife type who, she describes, in a fit of pique, moves out of their vast new-build Queen Anne-style mansion and into the old coach house, a lowly cottage on their estate, along with her daughter Minty and her all-seeing executive butler Ian.
Minty.
Ian, the, and again, quote, the Gucci loafer-loving gay butler.
And the book is kind of, it's kind of written, he's the hero within the book, right?
Yes, I think
the Gucci
so.
The Gucci-loving gay butler.
Yeah. Because we were just talking before we started recording about, what was it she said? Something about how she just noticed.
Yeah. What she said is it's told through the eyes of Ian, the Gucci-loving gay butler. Sykes came up with the idea for him after noticing that household staff are often the funniest and friendliest people at parties. Don't you love that?
Noticing. Yeah, all these like very rich women reading this being like, well, I never have thought, maybe I'll start talking to them.
It's amazing.
Sorry, there are still people with household staff.
Oh, yes. In the Cotswolds.
And this is what they do, apparently, as well. What they do is, so if you're living your life and you're too busy and stressed because you're having like cold water swimming and going horse riding and worrying about the children, Minty.
Warming the Argo.
That there are things that somebody else has to do. And what they have to do, one of the things that a household staff has to do is to ensure that when guests arrive at your house, flowers open at that time.
The flowers have been purchased at the appropriate time so that they open upon the arrival of, you know, guests such as Fernanda Ovington Williams, a half Venezuelan, half Swedish heiress.
This entire book just sounds like the episode of Downton Abbey where she bangs the Turk to death.
Yeah.
It sounds great.
Yeah. Ancillary cast of characters include a male model moonlighting as a stable hand and a London barrister moonlighting as a gentleman farmer. It literally is just like Mills and Boone on steroids. And I am downloading it as we speak.
There's also quite a lot about Plum herself.
Yeah.
Because Plum's life...
Why are you saying Plum like it's a name? Why is nobody querying Plum?
And also,
but it's short for plumber.
You know what's really annoying? It's short for Victoria.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
What I absolutely love is that her name is Plum and her sister is called Lucy.
Poor Lucy.
Wouldn't you be livid? Also, if I was Plum, when I became another, I'd give it 10 to 20 years, but when I got to my sort of, you know, twilight years, I would rebrand myself as Prune.
Now, it's time for the Paper Cuts Fun Times Come On Down headline competition. Yes, it's time for Fix the Headline, where we find a great story with a bait header and ask you to think up a better one. On Friday, we found a story in The Sun which revealed that 4 out of 10 Brits have used a washing machine as an improvised sex toy. It's a standard old wives story, I have to say. But anyway, their headline was...
Takes a bit of sort of getting in, but after that...
Their headline was, Our Dirty Laundry, which wasn't very good. We knew you could do better, and you did. On X, we got a lot of suggestions, I have to say. John Penny had a go with wash and come. Alex McLean tried with good vibrations. Daniel Van Berzen gave us Porn Dramat and Whiskey Craig Grin Cycle, which I do quite like. On Threads, Nick Horn tried with Copper Miel rather than Copper Feel and Daztabate. But the winner on X is British Blah Blah, who actually gave us 3 headlines. Domestic Bliss, Don't Leave Me Mangling. And the winner, Twin Tub Thumping.
Oh, hooray! Lovely.
Well done, British Blah Blah. Just send in your address and T-shirt size, and an exclusive Paper Cuts T-shirt will be yours. Just don't put it on hot wash. What about today, John? What have you got headline-wise?
Okay, I've got the Star. There's a story here. Yvette Fielding reckons ghosts have been caught on doorbell cameras. The most haunted star called on residents with motion-detecting lenses on their doors to send her their spooky footage. The subhead here is security cameras footage is, quote, proof. Mm. There is some of the footage. It's like, they're reaching. There's no ghost. There is a slight flare on the lens is what we're looking at here. Anyway, the headline is Ghosts from Bell.
Oh, very good. Okay, yeah. Ghosts from Bell. Yep.
Opposite that, there's a far more terrifying story, I have to say, about a man who dresses up as dogs.
We like the people who dress up as dogs. They're our fave.
I'm not comfortable with this. Call me old-fashioned, but I think men are men and dogs are dogs, and never the twain shall meet. And if that's going to get me cancelled by the so-called wokerati, then so be it.
Someone's not been to Vauxhall of a Friday night.
I did once have a very nice night at Horse Meat Disco, but that's a different story.
Oh, yeah, we love it there.
Anyway, the man dog who spent £12,000 on a costume to turn into a border collie has splashed out on another outfit. Known as Toko, he has amassed an army of online fans as he charts his barking mad life as a pooch in Japan. There's a picture here. Like, I have to say the border collie one is, that's going to haunt my dreams. Mm. The new one, actually, like, I didn't realise this wasn't a dog.
No, it's a picture of a dog, isn't it?
I just thought, that's a dog. Yeah. Anyway, the headline is, I'm not sure I get this, Bin to the Waggy Tailor. Oh, I just got it.
Waggy Tail.
Waggy Tail, yeah. Yeah. Waggy Tail. Yeah,
Waggy Tailor. All right, Daniel, what do you have?
Okay. In The Sun, there is a great one about Dolly Parton, who is launching her own range of wines, which I'm absolutely loving. She's aiming to serve up a smash hit after trademarking the vino in the States and the UK. And they've titled this Wine to Five.
Nice.
Which is really good. But also, just underneath it, there's a picture of Dolly with a speech bubble and it says, Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my van, which I really like as well. But my favourite one is this, which is just a little piece about how there's a photograph or a little clip of a little bear cub on its mum's back as she sort of teaches it how to swim. And they've titled that Bareback Rider.
Oh, come on.
I've seen that video.
Now, in the papers today, we found three different pieces on self-improvement that, excitingly and quite unusually, involve doing hardly anything at all. So, in The Telegraph, there's a piece about getting fit by lying down, which we're very excited about. And in The Mail, in the Inspire section, there are two truly inspiring features. One about thinking yourself thinner, and one entitled Six Ways to Boost Your Sex Appeal and It's Not About Looks. So, Daniel, you've been learning on how we, you know now how we can get fit and sexy without doing very much.
I'm loving this new 2024 attitude towards beauty. The Telegraph is basically like talking about how, I mean, Gen Z is doing itself no favours of changing the reputation from cranky boomers being like, they're lazy, because the latest health trend they're saying on TikTok is lying down and doing literally nothing. It's called hashtag floor time.
Oh, I love the fact that it's got a hashtag.
53.4 million views on TikTok for some floor time.
Right, okay. That sounds a little bit like, you know, with little kids, when they go to primary school, the teacher quite often to calm them down goes, carpet time.
Carpet time. Yeah. And you just get to read a bit of like Biff and Chip or whatever on the floor. Yeah. And it will stretch your back. It will rest your mind. You'll tune into your body.
It's just like having a nap, no?
Yeah. And also there's like so little to say about lying down that they then come back to, you'll realign your spine, which surely is relaxing and stretching your back. Like, we've really just come back.
They can't even get 500 words out of it.
Literally, they're like, maybe we don't know what to do. Just go back to the back thing again. Do that again.
Okay, well, we can adopt that.
We can all be doing some lying down. I mean, apparently it's very good for you.
But I mean, it's not really something that we didn't know, is it?
No.
Having a lie down.
It's also not something we don't all do every night, unless you're like sleeping in an upright Victorian chair like a ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all on mattresses that are too soft, aren't we?
Well,
So we need to sleep on the floor.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I'm not doing that.
Floor.
All right. Next one.
The Daily Mail's Inspire section has two of these. One is forget Ozempic. You can think yourself thin with my revolutionary hypno jab without even having to get off the sofa. and it's literally a woman basically just punting her self-hypnosis audio thing.
Okay, so there's no jab?
There's no jab. It's an audio jab.
There's no needle.
It's a jab into the ear. I'm going to start calling everything something jab. You know how everything became something gate?
Yeah. So we're doing now, we're doing news jab.
News jab. We just had asylum jab and then Cotswolds jab.
Right. Okay. So she's basically saying you don't need the Ozempic jab, which costs like £200 a month or whatever. You can just lie on the sofa or indeed lie on the floor.
Or lie on the floor.
Lie on the floor and listen to her hypno jab.
You listen to her hypno jab, which is her sort of ASMRing about how you don't need food, I think. It's basically a sort of, she claims that hearing this is sort of self-hypnosis thing on a daily basis for a week, and then 2 to 3 times a week thereafter will reduce your appetite. And then the final one, which this is my favorite one, is 6 ways to boost your sex appeal, and it's not about looks.
Woohoo!
And then it proceeds to tell you 6 things that are absolutely about looks. So they include dressing better / developing style, improving your posture, smiling more, connecting with the sensual world, and then my favorite one, just simply glow with a gorgeous energy.
Well, luckily we're all doing that, right?
Thankfully, right now, this room is absolutely fucking glowing with gorgeous energy. It's quite, I mean, some of it is about just like
being confident.
Yeah, confidence and sort of just emitting sex appeal with your aura.
Yeah.
My favorite bit is that it ends by saying on the connect to the sensory world section, eroticism is not something that just happens between the sheets. When we're connected to our senses, it radiates out. Not convinced? 2 words. Nigella Lawson.
Can I just say, I've met Nigella Lawson. Yeah. She's one of the most good-looking people I've ever met in my life.
An incredibly charismatic and obviously, like, objectively, conventionally good-looking human being who's, like, famous for that.
Yeah. Are you sure she wasn't just glowing with a gorgeous energy?
She might have been doing that.
I think
that
she was smiling.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to John.
Thank you.
Thanks to Daniel.
Thank you.
Remember, if you fancy listening to the show with no ads and a special extra story, then why not join the Paper Cuts Supporters Club? Go to back.papercutshow.com. The link is in the show notes. Also, since it is our 200th episode, we thought we'd make a special announcement. If you're a member of the Paper Cuts Supporters Club, we'll be holding a special live Zoom for all our backers very soon. So if you want to be involved in that exciting event, join the Paper Cuts Supporters
Don't
Club.
Don't laugh on exciting. We're meant to be selling it to people here.
Should I be serious? And that exciting event. I can't help laughing, sorry. Anyway, all our supporters get a special shout out. John, who do you have?
Okay, I've complained a lot about the writing of this bit.
What's happened here? This doesn't link to anything. No. I thought in your preamble there might be like something about pirates, but
no, it's just pirates.
You know what? I'm going to lean in. I'm going to try and do like, okay. Arr, the sea be a cruel mistress, but we be the master of her waves. And thank you, Ian Reid.
Hoist the colours high and proud, me hearties. And thank you, Dan Scott.
With a bottle of rum to fill me tum. Thank you, Losa Mal.
Oh my God, is there like carbon monoxide in here?
I've been Miranda Sawyer, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when the BBC has revealed that a stowaway cat was accidentally posted to California after disappearing from her home in Utah. Who delivered this parcel? The Royal Meow?
Is the cat okay? Why are we making jokes about this? Is the cat
fine.
Okay?
I wouldn't have made a joke if the cat wasn't fine. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with John Elledge and Daniel Fox. The producer was Liam Tate, with assistant production by Adam Wright. Music and audio production was by me, Simon Williams, and socials were by Kieran Leslie. The group editor was Andrew Harrison, the managing editor was Jacob Jarvis, and the executive producer was Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.